This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. There's only one subject on the plate for this edition of Tasting Room. It's the 2022 National Wine Awards of Canada. They judged close to 2,000 wines, and they're the top judges, friends, the best. Sparkling, red blends, white blends, orange, rosé, Pinot Gris, Grigio, Sauvignon Blanc, Syrah, Riesling, Gamay, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, cider, fruit wines, fortified, ice wine, late harvest, Cab Sav, Cab Franc, Merlot, and then the final days were best performing small winery, top 10 small wineries, and the last day, the winery of the year, and the top 25 wineries. And I asked Wineline who best to speak to this, and the answer came back, and I knew what it was going to be. Anthony Gismondi. Gismondi and Wine, the best of food and wine, a national journalist for some 33 years, I believe, for the Vancouver Sun. And, thankfully, he said yes. So the whole show is just a conversation with myself and Anthony Gismondi about these wine awards that are the epitome of wine judging and wine recognition across this country. Extremely well done. So let's get at it. I hope you find some information here that can help and that you enjoy this edition of Tasting Room Radio. A video version of this interview, by the way, can be found on the Terry David Mulligan YouTube channel. You can find all the details and the link directly to the judging awards at tastingroomradio.com, which can be found at mulliganstew.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. New releases coming your way, the long-awaited Soiree, their beautiful fortified red. And this week, the 2021 Heritage Pinot Gris and the Merlot Malbec. New releases from Hillside Winery, Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, the morning after the 2022 National Wine Awards of Canada were announced, finally. And co-founder of those awards, Anthony Gismondi, is with me. You know him from the Vancouver Sun, his wine column, of course, we all read it. Co-host of the BC Food and Wine radio show. Is there a book coming?
No time.
Okay. He's the guy we go to for our wines, our wine knowledge. And they have just gone through the eight-day boot camp of the National Wine Awards. And You've come out the other end the morning after. I know that your head is filled with all sorts of thoughts about what you just went through, but is there any one clear, shining light that is speaking to you this morning just about what you went through and what you discovered?
Well, there are so many things. I might start just by thanking, you know, the Canadian wineries that put their faith in us to enter their wines. You know, as I always have said, it takes a lot of guts to enter your wines into a competition.
Yeah.
And especially into a serious competition. And I know everybody thinks their competition is serious, but, you know, we have all the players and all the wines, so there's no better benchmark. So I think it's good for them. What would I say about the wines? Mostly what I've said every year, and probably what everybody knows, they're getting better and better. But in this case now, it's more about refinement, I would say, than, you know, better. And I'm really, it's the fine tuning in the last 10 or 15% sort of that will set us apart, let's say, from any other sort of commercial region. That's what we're after. We've been begging for GIs. We've been begging for specificity in the wineries. And so I think, you know, we're getting there now. And that allows us to interpret the story a little bit better.
I did see an article. You were pretty busy and you might have missed this. I'm sure you'll spot it. It was a nice article about, I think it was Food and Drink, about how to start to read labels in Napa, Sonoma, and how to look past the label name, the varietal, and look at where it was grown and how certain areas now people are buying the area.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, but are we headed in that direction?
Well, yes, we are. And with a lot of, there's been a lot of resistance over the ages. I can't tell you how many meetings I've been in where I was told, we're selling Canada, not BC, or we're selling BC, not Naramata. And I have a very simple answer to that. Well, when people get in their cars for the weekend, they don't go to BC, they don't go to the Okanagan, they go to Naramata, or they go to Okanagan Falls, or they go to Lake Country. They go somewhere, they have an address. They couldn't find their house or their hotel without an address. So why would you drink a wine that didn't have an address? So I've always been big on that because I think even at Gismania on Wine, you can look at, they say, oh, so you say Canada, then you say BC, then you say Naramata, then you say the Naramata Bench, whatever. Well, that's the trail, and that's where the story starts. So I think that for sure that's coming on. And of course, if you add in, there's a, the other sort of controversy about what's in the wine. How organic is it? What are the additives? All that. That's the kind of information that, needs to be on the labels. And by the way, I think back labels are probably the most important part of the wine, and it's the most abused, and some of the worst writing in the world occurs on the back of wine
I
labels.
know. I know. You're looking at it. Somebody said to me, was sitting beside me, said, I don't need this story. I don't need this flavorful. I want to know what's in the bottle. Tell me what's in the bottle.
Hopefully somebody's soul
But you
is
know,
in the
actually, it
bottle.
reminds me of something, and you know this well, Anthony. Each one of these labels, there's how many bottles in total?
You mean the competition?
Yeah.
Let's say 1900 and a few,
1900.
something like that.
Every one of those bottles has a story behind it, and a person, and a story you can tell, and you can connect it with the land and the person who made it. And in some cases, we know for a fact that the character of that person is reflected in the wine. It's kind of like an
Well,
interesting.
and that weighs heavily on David Loris and my co-chair and I. That's what weighs the most heavily on us because that's exactly what we believe. The reason why we started the awards was we had been judging for many years around the world. Sometimes I would judge for a week in Italy and I wouldn't know what I was tasting. They never told me what I was tasting and I never saw any results. So I thought that was a complete waste of my time. And then there would be other situations where the wineries didn't know who was judging or who the people were. I thought it was a waste of their time. And then the consumers never got any of the info. So I didn't really know what was going on. And we decided when we started the nationals that they would be sort of a three-pronged deal where they would be great news for consumers. They'd be a place where wineries could benchmark and get some info where they stand. And of course, we would try and assemble the best palates in the country, always controversial, but get people in a room and give these wines their due respect. So, it's not, everybody calls it a competition, but really it's a snapshot. It's done once a year. And if you actually followed it from 2001, you would just follow the progress of Canadian wine and you would see some varieties dropping off, others jumping up. People, better winemaking, more interesting subzones, whatever. But it's a history of what we've done, and most of the history of Canadian wine is really in the last 2 decades.
I was thinking about cellared. You're calling a specific year, obviously, but some of the reds, how long have they been hanging around? What are the qualifications?
Well, I should have all this in front of me. I know the white wines go back a couple of years, and the red wines, I think there's a 3 year
There you go. Okay.
window
All right.
for them. And if they've already been entered, they can't be re-entered. Well, if they're in the window, they can be re-entered. But once they're outside of the window, they can't. Lots of wines are now kept at the winery over 4 or 5 years and then released. If it's their first commercial release, they're eligible to go in, but they can't go in the next year because they're outside of the window. So it's a one-shot deal for the ones that they sell are longer. But we don't know how long those wines will last. So it's nice to just taste those ones once.
Because of your food and wine show, you know I have to take a break now. You
Yeah,
know that commercial break, you know.
make some money.
Anthony Gismondi is our guest. We're talking about the National Wine Awards, the Nationals of Canada 2022. We'll be right back, starting with the Platinums. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. New releases coming your way, the long-awaited Soiree, their beautiful fortified red. And this week, the 2021 Heritage Pinot Gris and the Merlot Malbec. New releases from Hillside Winery, Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Pinky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their goo is going as well. And Wednesday the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has Music Bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just $1. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. And I give you this one heads up. You might want to hang around August the 8th for a special guest joining Proper Man. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. Tasting Room Radio, Anthony Gismondi, wonderful writer and someone we always read and get clarity from when we're talking about food and wine. Co-chair of the National Wine Awards 2022. They have just finished their eight-day internment, and they've come out better for it. All of us will benefit from it. It's great reading. It's like a thriller. It's fantastic reading. I take my time over a cup of coffee to read the results. Now, we can't do them all, as you well know.
Sure.
I was thinking of doing an overview or just cutting straight to the platinums and working our way down from there. Maybe the platinums will reveal something in themselves.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good opportunity to talk about, because the people say to me, oh, well, how does this top wineries of the year, how does that list composed? It's very simple. And we try to keep it, we're tasters. We taste all the time, you know, at Gismondi on Wine, we score out of 100. We've done that for, you know, almost 40 years now.
Yep.
And most of the people that taste with us are associated with, magazines or whatever, and they're scoring out of 100, or they're retailers and they know what a 100-point score is. So that's the first sort of benchmark in the tasting. You've got to get a score. We don't actually give out medals. We've set standards, and when you achieve a score, you get a certain medal based on what the group has done that year. So I think that, so for the platinums, we had to come up with a new level. We didn't have any platinums in the first 10 years, to sure. be, you know, truthful, and probably not till the last 5 years. Now the level is so high at the top that we created the platinums, which are basically 1% of all the wines and ties. So in this case, you know, it's like 19 wines. And then at that score level, we would take all the ties. So we issued 24 platinums out of 1,900 wines. So that gives you an idea of how the quality of these wines are.
And if you read the release that's come out, and you're doing the writing on it, you can get specific within those 24. For example, you make the point that Riesling led a wonderful charge here. We love them, Riesling as judges and as wine fans, the consumer not so much.
Mm.
Which, you know, I had
you can only beat them over the head so often, you know.
We love our Syrah and we love our Cab Franc, although I would like to see more Gamay in there, but Pinot, Syrah, Chardonnay, we're going to see those guys. Some of the names that popped up, Hindley, Bordertown.
Yeah.
Nice to see.
Fantastic. And I think this is a true example of what blind tastings are about. The wines are tasted blind. And so everybody has an opportunity. There's no baggage at the table. You just have you have eight glasses in front of you most of the time. And the wine has to tell its own story. So it's hard to explain the complexity of what we've designed, but you know, just think of a wall. It's kind of like in the old days of writing, I would say on one side was editorial and on the other side was, you know, marketing.
Sure.
Well, we have a back room that the judges never see and never go in, but in the back room, everything is visible. So that was another issue for me. I would see people tasting out of brown paper bags, and if you give me a brown paper bag and show me the top of the bottle, I'll be right 8 out of 10 times without even looking at the wine. Sure. So we do all that stuff so that when the wine gets out in front of that judge at the right temperature, in a small amount, in a small group that makes sense, then the wine can really shine. And the result is How many times would you think that border town, because they've just really got going and they're down south, it's pretty warm. They got a fantastic turnout at the competition. And Heinle, which we haven't talked about since they made ice wine 35 years ago or 40 years ago, also succeeded in making a wonderful Merlot. So it's not just the ones you think it is. It's sometimes it's just the best ones.
Is there a subtext here that of the Ontario wines that you have awarded, how many we would see on this end of the country?
Well, there's a couple of subtexts. One, Ontario traditionally doesn't enter as many wines as BC into the competition.
Because we're
Why, I don't know.
because we're
You'd
homers.
have to ask them.
No, Charlie Pillitteri says we're homers.
Well, do you want me? I'm not going to say anything. That's his response. That is unbelievable that a Canadian winery would even say that. Like, it's just so ridiculous. It's just off the charts. But let me tell you that Ontario, I think they entered 34% of the wines and got 36% of the medals. So
Okay.
calling us homers is a bit of a losing
Okay.
statement
There you
there.
go.
They also have 17,000 acres, plenty more than we do. I think one of the issues with Ontario is they still have their grape marketing board, and so this has really hurt the quality of their grapes. There's people that control it and are making great wine, but when the grape marketing board sets the price for inferior grapes, that doesn't help anybody. We stopped that a long time ago, and you can see the difference in the quality of the grapes and what's grown. But that's another long story. So
Okay.
Let me just say that it's kind of split. Like in Ontario, of course, Riesling, Cabernet Franc, Pinot Noir, and Chardonnay are that's kind of their babies. And I would say we're a little more, we have a little more of a deeper palate in BC, but at the moment, as you can see, like Syrah was really a leader for the last few years,
Sure.
and it still is, but Pinot Noir has really caught up in BC. And it's caught up because we've moved north to cooler sites. We know more about the clones. We have more experience now. So you can expect Pinot Noir to really surge from Vancouver Island all the way up to the Shuswap. So they had a good run. Chardonnay, also a good run. Sparkling wine was a bit of a mystery to me because there was so many good ones, but there was only one platinum that came out of Ontario this year. So
I'm just looking at your
it's up and
page.
down.
You understand why Cedar Creek did as well as it did. We haven't announced that yet verbally with our lips, but Cedar Creek 2019 Aspec and their Platinum 2020 Jacket Roque Syrah and the Chardonnay, the Block 5 Chardonnay. You need at least one platinum to get into the race for Winery of the Year. They've got two right back to
You
back.
do.
And but what catches my eye is Fort Barron's. The Pinot Noir, 2020.
Fantastic. So happy for them. Working super hard. And Fort Barron's, when they started out, there was nothing in Lillooet. So, of course, they were buying a lot of fruit from the South Okanagan.
Sure.
People were calling them Lillooet, but really the wines reminded us of the South Okanagan all the time. Well, now that they have their own vineyards and they're planning to expand even more, we'll see quite a development there in the Lillooet area. And this is a real nice nod for them. I'm so happy for them because these guys actually have a plan and they're instituting it, and now they're getting results. So that I think that's a terrific result for them.
And I'm very happy for Four Shadows, the 2021 Riesling Classic. I mean, they were pig farmers in Alberta. They said, well, why can't we be farmers on the Narragansett? And they found this literally abandoned vineyard on Upper Bench Road and turned it into this incredible home for Riesling.
Well, these platinum medals are people should try and explain. I've already got a note saying I can't find half of these wines. I have to say that I'm incapable of shopping for every Canadian who's looking for wine. I've told you a million times, you got to start at the winery. You can either order it direct. If that doesn't work for you, you phone the winery and say, I want to buy your wine. I live in this city. Where can I buy it? Put the pressure on them. Don't put the pressure on me. I can't keep track of 2,000 wines. So these wines are out there. Some are only wine club. Some are only in retail. Some are only in restaurants. But that's not our job when we judge them. So, good luck finding them and enjoy the ones you find. That's what I say.
It's break time. Anthony Gismondi is our guest. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the best small winery in Canada. Actually, there's a list. Good. We'll be right back.
Okay.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Pinky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their Goo is going as well. And Wednesday the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has Music Bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just $1. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. And I give you this one heads up. You might want to hang around August the 8th for a special guest joining Proper Man. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. August is wine month in the Cowichan. You can relax and experience summer in the vineyards, taste award-winning wines, and meet the winemakers just as special as the wines they produce, including Unsworth. And it's all on a self-guided tour of the world-class terroir called Cowichan. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. Anthony Gismondi is my guest, and he's taking us through, God bless him, the National Wine Awards of Canada 2022. Almost 2,000 wines were in this competition. And Wine Line just did an incredible job. It's such a professional all-round from top to bottom. If you make this list, if you're part of this competition, you're being judged properly and fairly at the top level. I'm just so impressed with this. I've got to tell you that and pass that on.
Thanks. Well, that's the goal. And, I really don't even want to talk too much about what we do, because it's not about us. It's about the wines. But, you know, we just try to be fair and see what happens. And believe me, it's like if you looked at a picture of yourself, Terry, 20 years ago and today, and you had one every year, you take out that snapshot, things change, you know, that's the way life is. And people, they get so bent out of shape that their favorite little boutique winery, you know, finished 12th instead of 8th. Well, they're all pretty close. And we come back to our roots. Our roots are tasting wine and scoring wine. So when you look at there's a total number for each winery. We're going to talk about these small wineries. So if you get a 91, we round up for the public, but if you get 91.6 for your gold, and your neighbor gets 91.8, he's higher than you or she's higher than you. And then the golds get a, you know, there's a multiplier based on how many golds are out there. So if, like, let's say the platinums, that's a good example. There's only 24 of them. So they're worth a lot. If you can get one, it's worth a lot. And that's why getting a platinum helps you get into the top 25, because it shows that you've broken through.
By the way, dear listener, by the way, this is not a dash. This isn't even four laps around a field. This is a marathon. And you can't believe how dark it gets in there about halfway through when you realize you still have four more days to go.
Yeah. I love it, though. It's, you know, 5 days and you're following the first day, the second day. We taste all of the wines over the first 3 days. And then we bring back about, I want to say, depends on the category, but 25 to 30% of the wines return for the final round. That's a really tough thing that Dave and I, the cutoff for that. And you can imagine, so you scored, say, 89.48, and you're not getting into the 89.50. It sounds, you know, it sounds like that's not possible. But, you know, when you score wines, and there is a difference in the wine, so that's the way that's the way it goes. So, you know, it's not a perfect science, but we have a nice blend of science and know-how, and then what's happening in the glass. And I think that's, you know, people write about competitions, it's all bullshit. Well, fine, you know, you say what you want. I'm in that room, I see what happens for 5 days, and we watch the progression. And then, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And this is the most important thing I say to the judges is when I go into a winery 6 months from now and they open a gold medal wine, I said, that wine better be bloody good, because we've told people it is and we expect it to be. So that's, you know, they have this pressure too, that it's kind of like a port producer, you know, as I say, you declare a vintage port because it's supposed to last 35 years. So it better last 35 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, small wineries, we should talk a little bit about them. First of all, under 10,000 cases, we never had this award before. And I thought at the time when we started, well, you know, we just don't have enough goodness to spread things around. But by about by about 2010 or so, a lot of smaller wineries are saying, well, we can't compete with the big guys and this and that. Of course, they're wrong because it's only their top five wines. But we said, okay, let's do people under 10,000 cases. Maybe they have a little less resources, less money, less info. I don't really believe any of that anymore. But anyway, it's been set. So this year, we had a look at the best small wineries, and number one was Spearhead Winery, which I'm really excited about. Their wines they're so electric, they just sort of jumped off the page at the competition. And well, you know Grant Stanley, he's a character,
He's a
and his
character,
wines are characterful, you know?
and he followed his muse. He could have had a cushy whatever. He could just keep working up the corporate ladder, and he decided that he was going to throw in with Spearhead.
His Coyote Vineyard Pinot Noir, outstanding. Even his Botrytis Affected Late Harvest Riesling. So there's a lot, there was a nice mix there. And his Pinot Gris, which I've always loved, the Golden Retreat. It's so great to see these wines get their due in a blind tasting, especially like a Pinot Gris, where, 10 years ago, the judges would want to leave the room before tasting another Pinot Gris.
So
That's all changed.
those troublemakers at Lafrenz are there. Number two, number three is Fort Barron's. There you go.
Lafrenz, they won last year, so they are in second this year. That's what we love, is the consistency.
Sure.
They got a lot of medals, but their top five were just below the top five from Spearhead. Of course, Fort Barron's we talked about. Hidden Bench, which is a sensational Ontario winery, which lets me say something. You know what? You can buy any of these wines from Ontario wineries. Just get online and buy them.
There you
The
go.
problem is no one in Ontario can buy our wines. And this hasn't changed. This is a national disgrace, and I dump it on the provincial monopolies, the provincial government, the federal government, and anybody else at the top that's lobbying for whatever, some protection.
Just
So
so
we
pisses
can't
me
buy their
off.
wines, but they can buy ours.
Yeah.
Nasty.
A
Painted Rock
far,
was
by the way, a
actually, John
farm.
was one of the guys who wanted to have a small winery designation. So
A
he's been in there
farm, we're
in
talking about a
Meijer.
farm product here.
Yeah, pretty much. Meijer has been the most consistent. I think they've been in the top 10 every year since we started it. And of course, they're making fantastic Pinot Noir and Chardonnay down in Okanagan Falls. They got their own sub GI
How
now.
about that,
Uh,
man?
lot, yeah, lots going on
That's one
there.
after the other. Painted Rock, Meijer, and Synchromesh, all Okanagan Falls.
And
There'll be
our
a party
friends at
there today.
Van Westen. Ben Weston, that is such a nice thing to see for him on the Naramata bench. And he hosted the judges probably 10 or 12 years ago. We had a tasting at his
Yes,
winery.
you did.
Most of the judges never heard of Naramata and never heard of Van Weston. And so these kind of evenings during the events really sort of change the message for wineries and writers and consumers.
Our third break is right now because when we come back, we're going to talk about the winery of the year and just a wrap up of sorts and let the man get on with his life. Anthony Gismondi is our guest. We are honored to have him here, and this is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. August is wine month in the Cowichan. You can relax and experience summer in the vineyards, taste award-winning wines, and meet the winemakers just as special as the wines they produce, including Unsworth. And it's all on a self-guided tour of the world-class terroir called Cowichan. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Mooncursor Wine Shop hours are 10 to 5 daily. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. All the details you need can be found at mooncursor.com. We come to the fourth and final segment of Tasting Room Radio on this special occasion, trying to, without talking about 1,500 to 2,000 bottles of wine. It's the National Wine Awards of Canada 2022. Just giving you some highlights. It's great reading, my friends. Just go to this website and find Wine-A-Lime, because it's just every. We will all have ties to certain categories and labels and areas. We come to the Winery of the Year, adjudged on a point system.
Well, it's judged on their. They had the top five highest scoring wines. So when you add those all up, so they had two platinums and three golds. You know, just to put it in perspective, probably 10 years ago, if you had two golds and three silvers, you'd be in the running for the top winery of the year. In the last 5 years, you had to have at least five golds to make it in. And now in the last 2 or 3 years, you've got to get a platinum or two. As well as the golds to be considered at the top. But, you know, the top 25 are impressive. The top five, there's usually not a lot to choose between them. They just missed that second platinum or they just missed that high gold. So the list is valid, quite a ways down. But Cedar Creek's done a great job. As you know, they've been under renovation and change for almost 5 years. So they built all this structure. They started in the vineyards. Then they redid the winery, and then, of course, now they've redone all their reception areas and restaurant and all that. But the important stuff was done early, and we see the results now.
Yeah.
And they're very focused on telling the story of the North Okanagan for cool climate wines, and they had a hell of a show. Happy for them and Taylor.
Last time I went through, I can remember seeing lots of vessels, different vessels. They were fooling around with clay and concrete and They want that to take them somewhere. They have to start at a certain level, but I mean, and let's face it, as a destination with home block,
people say that remark you made earlier about homers and etc. Like, I've been in thousands of wineries, and you know what? There's not 10 or 12 that are at the same level as Cedar Creek or Mission Hill when you visit them. These are incredible. Places that we have for people to visit and to enjoy wine. So that's one thing. But, you know, they went organic. Kirk Simchick does a fantastic job for them. They now have, animal husbandry. You go up there in the vineyards and there's animals walking around and chickens. And this is a sea change. Like, if the rest of the province of British Columbia was as intent on doing this kind of work to save the planet, save themselves, and to eat and drink better, we'd be so much better off. So the wine industry has done a great job, and of course Anthony von Mandel leading his troops to really change the way that we think about wine, to make it more cultural. You know, maybe we'll get rid of the scores soon. I'll be happy. I'm happy to get rid of the scores, but you know, we got to get there first.
But the system works.
Yeah. It sure works.
Well, you'd call it. I mean, if it wasn't working, you'd call it. You wouldn't let anybody.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things I'd still do if I was in charge. But you know, people have to live. And the thing about wine is, it's a journey and it's a long term project. You can't. Nothing happens in a year or two. It's generational, and we see now that we know now why. Families like Antonori, 26 generations, 27 generations. How is that even possible? But we see the results of that because of the passed down knowledge. And what we're seeing now is this passing down of knowledge. If you think about Harry McWater's first sparkling wine way back when at Sumac Ridge, that knowledge is now been passed down for nearly 40 years. And so a lot of things have changed. A lot of young people making great sparkling wine.
Actually, I made a note and you commented on it in your writing under the platinums. It was kind of surprising that there weren't more, because it's a great bubble movement going on. But I think there was just the one, was there not?
There was just the one. But, you know, the thing about bubble is that the standard is so high. I mean, the standard is champagne. And for most judges, the standard is, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but if you're drinking Blanc de Blanc champagne or some of the greatest sparkling wines in the world, that's a super high standard.
Yeah.
And So some years were up and down. You know, it's not an easy wine to make, and I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of blending vintages, and we've had a couple of off vintages in the middle. Ontario had some great vintages while we were off. So I don't really know what that story is, but you know, I've been tasting this week. I just had the latest Blue Mountain wine, and it's incredible again. It's such a sensational wine. They're regular everyday brut. So I don't know. We'll see next year. Like last year, we had a lot of them in there, so it's just up and down.
You did touch on something there, and that was under the platinums. I think you were doing the writing that, yes, some of these platinums are $40, $50, $60, but there's a couple in there that are 14, under $20.
Well, that's blind tasting too, you know. Obviously, there's some people who want to drink $100 wine because they want to be seen drinking it. There's some people who think their wine's worth $100 because that's the way they think. And then there's great wine out there that's always available at a far lower price. You just have to open your eyes, or in this case, close your eyes and taste blind. So we're happy for that. And I will do in the, probably if I get it sometime next month, because I have the ability now, I'll probably issue a list of the best value wines at the National
There
Wine
you
Awards
go.
based on their medal score and price. And that'll be an interesting list too. So you know, even $60, can you buy the best wine in Napa for $60? I don't think so. I think it's more like 700. In Bordeaux, it's more like 1500, and in Burgundy, it's now in the thousands. So when you can buy the best Pinot Noir in BC, which wouldn't embarrass itself in a tasting with other global ones for $45 or $50, that's a pretty good deal for consumers.
And how did the wildly popular rosé show up this year?
Pretty good. I'm going to tell you something though. We're going to change the way we taste next year because we learn all, you know, we were so happy to get the rosés, and then everybody, you know, rosé all day. Let's taste the rosés, and they're quite good. Two things are happening with rosé: color, so more pale is getting higher scores; less sugar, obviously, getting higher scores with the judges. And that's not so much with consumers who like a little bump of residual, I think, as well. But the biggest thing we're going to change is that normally when you say you're tasting Chardonnay or Pinot Noir, we tell the judges this is a Chardonnay flight or a Cabernet flight or whatever. That's all they know. But in rosé, they're told the variety because that's the way the system was set up. It would just show you Chardonnay 10 times. But if you're tasting rosé, you might see Pinot Noir, Syrah, whatever. So we think we'll get even more interesting results if we remove that piece of information. Think about it yourself, Terry. If you're tasting five rosé and you don't know what grapes they are, it might change the way you think about those
There
wines.
you go.
So, but the quality there, like let's just say if it was on a scale of 4 or 5 10 years ago, it's easily 8 now. So everything's better.
He is the man to read in the Vancouver Sun. He is the publisher of Gismondi on Wine, the co-chair of the National Wine Awards that we've been talking about 2022, the co-host of BC Food and Wine Radio. Between all of those elements, you can get another side of this story in this man. I hope whatever the left of the rest of summer is like for you involves doing nothing.
Well, I'm so happy the awards are over, but you know, the next ones are in BC next June, and we're already, you know, planning, so
Okay.
they never stop.
Thank you for your time.
Terry, thanks so much, and to your listeners, you know, have a great summer. Drink a bit of wine and relax.
Be a homer.
Yeah, be a homer.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Vineyards. Moon Cursor Wine Shop hours are 10 to 5 daily. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Moon Cursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Moon Cursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. All the details you need can be found at mooncursor.com. This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com.